As we prepare to receive God's word, let us join our hearts in prayer. Prepare our hearts, O God, to accept your word. Silence in us any voice but your own, that hearing we may also obey your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The scripture reading is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages. We hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A few weeks ago, I caught part of an interview on NPR with Dr. Henry Louis Gates. Dr. Gates is a professor at Harvard, and he also just produced a documentary this year on the Black Church for PBS. So Dr. Gates was sharing a little bit about his own religious upbringing as a child in West Virginia, how he gave his life to Christ at age 12, and how his family members were parts of traditions ranging from Pentecostal to Episcopalian. And at one point in the interview, he describes how at age 12, he joined the Methodist Church, but as he puts it, was not overcome by the Holy Ghost. In fact, he was terrified of the Holy Ghost. So much that if he were walking in his neighborhood and he was getting ready to pass a Pentecostal church, he would cross to the other side of the street to avoid getting too close. He says the Church of God in Christ was on Water Street on the right side, and Walden Methodist Church was about 200 yards further down on the left side of the street, And when I turned that corner, I crossed over to the left side of the street and I walked down. I zipped by the Holiness Church because I thought the Holy Ghost lived in that church. And I thought the Holy Ghost's power was such that he could just reach out and grab me and snatch me and pull me in the church, which is what had happened to my brother's friend, Vincent Clay. Vincent Clay was in a worship service at that church. He got up to walk out, and he later told us that a force grabbed him, turned him around, and just drove him to the altar and cast him on his knees. And he began confessing his sins and speaking in tongues. And I did not want that experience. I was not interested in being possessed by the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. I found it terrifying, but I found it fascinating. Which probably describes how a lot of us feel about this story in Acts of the very first Pentecost. It is terrifying and fascinating. 120 believers are gathered in one place when all of a sudden there is a sound like the rush of a violent wind. It fills the entire house where they are meeting, and something like a flame rests on each person's head. They are all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they start speaking in other languages. It's such a spectacle that people from throughout Jerusalem start gathering around this house. They can't figure out what is going on, because even though the people in the crowd come from different nations and speak different languages, this is a diverse kind of cosmopolitan area. Each one of them hears the apostles speaking in their own mother tongue. The story says they are bewildered and amazed and astonished. How are these Galileans speaking to me? How can we understand them so easily? What does this mean? It is 120 Vincent Clay experiences all at once. They are overcome by something beyond themselves, grabbed by this strong wind, anointed by something like a flame, pulled up into a movement that they could have never imagined. But instead of scaring people off, making them cross to the other side of the road, it seems to draw them in. Now, some people are just there for the spectacle. Some even accuse this group of being drunk at 9 a.m. But you have to imagine that for others, especially foreigners living in Jerusalem, it's such a comforting sound to finally hear someone speaking to them in their own language, giving them a message of God's grace and God's power that they can really understand. Through the Holy Spirit, God is enabling these apostles to meet people where they are, in their own language, in their own towns, in their ordinary lives, just like Jesus had done. So from here on, with the Spirit's leading, they are going to spread the gospel far and wide to people of every nation and language and race, to Jews and Gentiles, to men and women, rich and poor, to religious leaders and to religious outcasts. They'll share their possessions, tend to the sick, they'll baptize, they'll eat together, worship together. They'll even start to change their own minds about people that they would have otherwise disregarded or even judged. They'll sit down at tables together and start to see how the Lord is making them one. Dr. Gates, that same Harvard professor who was so scared of the Spirit, finally gets his Holy Ghost moment, as much as he had tried to avoid it. Ironically, it came when he had sort of drifted away from the faith. He was in college and he had pretty much stopped going to church. But every now and then he would go to chapel services at Yale because they had such interesting speakers. And Dr. Gates shares, "That's where I met Andy Young. Andy Young gave a sermon, and I stood in line, in the receiving line, as we call it, after his sermon, and I'll never forget it. He looked at me. He was signing books. He stopped and looked at me. He stood up. He rubbed my head, and he said, 'You're going to be somebody. You're going to be somebody.' I cried. I went back to my dorm and cried because it was kind of a laying on of the hands moment for me that one of my heroes, he just looked at my face and said that." Friends, the Holy Spirit might come to you in a wind or a flame. It may come loudly or quietly. It may come as somebody touches your head or looks you in the eye and speaks a word of grace or of challenge. Maybe like Vincent Clay, it will drive you to your knees in confession. Or maybe it will fill you with a power beyond yourself, letting you know you're going to be somebody. Allow yourself to get caught up in the wind from God, to be overcome by a greater power. Allow that Spirit to propel you into a life of grace where you are able to meet people where they are and as they are, to look them in the eye and give them the words that they long to hear. Ultimately, the Spirit is in the business of breaking down our barriers, helping us to hear and understand one another in our mother tongues. The Spirit enables us to eat together, pray together, seek God together, and to spread the good news of unconditional love. And today at the Lord's table, we'll get a glimpse of that day when no matter who we are or where we come from, we are one family. Where no matter any of the categories that the world tries to put us in, we are loved completely. Where the Spirit is poured out on all flesh. Where the young see visions and the old dream dreams. Where we eat at one table, drink one cup, and proclaim our one hope. Thanks be to God.